Starbucks' second largest market after the US is China, where it has over 3,300 stores and operates with virtually no serious competition. We're talking about more than 50% of the market share in this country. However, a Beijing-based startup could change that. Larking Coffee has opened 525 outlets across China's major cities less than 9 months after its launch. What is Larking Coffee? Is there really luck in coffee? How has this business developed so fast in China? And how Starbucks reacts in order to seize an advantage position in this competition? Those are the questions for our discussion today, and I hope you stay tuned.
Yes, so for Larking Coffee, I'm not really sure if there's a lot of luck in that coffee, but I do know that the Chinese name for that is Ruixing, so Ruixing Coffee or Larking Coffee if you read English. And this is a Chinese startup company. It announced on its Weibo account that it's teaming up with the technology giant Tencent to take on China's growing coffee market. China's local market for coffee products is worth about 100 billion yuan, that is around 14.6 billion US dollars, with instant coffee accounting for 72% and freshly brewed coffee making up 18% of the market.
You're telling me that Chinese people are drinking instant coffee,
Of them,
72%.
Most of them, yes. So I would assume coffee is not something that you take as a necessity of your beverage. You use it as a way to kind of start your day, or kind of, it's just one of the options. Because if you think about it, actually, another data from the Japanese market says that a average Japanese person would consume 200 cups of coffee per year, and an average Korean person, adult, would consume 140 cups of coffee per year. However, the number for China, for Chinese people, is only 4 cups of coffee per year. So if you think about that, even though we see the market is pretty huge already, we still see a lot of potential. And from that perspective, it is not quite strange to see that Lei Maofeng, the deputy general manager of Tencent's payment platform WeChat Pay, said that they're willing to make this partnership and to create a new lifestyle of smart retail through tie-up on user traffic, technology, exploration, application scenarios, and management abilities. Because I think they believe by teaming up with a coffee brand, a upcoming emerging new coffee brand, they might start to, you know, explore that new territory of coffee market.
Very interesting. And if they do want to sort of mine the potential market in the future, why don't they partner up with an industry giant such as Starbucks? Because like we said earlier, I think Starbucks accounts for more than 50% of the market share in China. If Tencent has a mind to sort of tap the potential of the market, why don't they work with Starbucks?
I would say because they don't have that option anymore. Because the announcement comes just a month after rivals Alibaba confirmed that its food delivery arm has teamed up with Starbucks already. So they would deliver coffee and snacks to Chinese consumers starting in fall in Beijing and Shanghai. And according to Starbucks president and CEO Kevin Johnson, before the end of the calendar year, the partnership will broaden delivery to 2,000 stores in 30 cities. So even if Tencent has the initiative to team up with Starbucks, they might be just, you know, one step slow, or they had some ideas about this new coffee brand, because Ruixing or Larking is a very interesting startup company that has the courage to actually challenge the market giant.
Perhaps the reason why they get to challenge Starbucks is perhaps maybe it is not such a big brand internationally. Tony, you are from the US, the motherland of Starbucks coffee. Is it a big brand in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. Starbucks is enormous in the American market as well. But competition in the US is also growing. In the past few years, Starbucks has entered into a battle with Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's, actually, for the top spot for coffee. Customers' desire and preference greatly influence the fight, so each company is fighting to expand menu options and physical store locations to reach greater amount of customers and draw in new customers away from the competition. So from development, Starbucks is aimed at creating a place for customers to stop between work and home and form concepts of physical locations that provide customers a relaxed atmosphere and overall experience. So, I mean, the tactic has been very successful for Starbucks. In 2017, a revenue of nearly $22.39 billion, up 5% from the previous year. And as of this year's April, Starbucks has about 28,209 stores. So Starbucks is still the king of coffee in the United States. But Dunkin' Donuts has been coexisting with Starbucks for decades. But when the spokesman retired back in the 90s, Dunkin' Donuts decided to change their campaign. And the company introduced its first specialty coffees and drinks in the early 2000s and slowly making a name for itself. And in 2006, it pretty much declared war on Starbucks and changed its campaign to America Runs on Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, I suppose I have a little misunderstanding about the popularity of Starbucks, the brand, then, because I lived in the U.S. for a while, because based on my personal observation, I don't see a lot of Starbucks locations, at least, well, certainly they exist on a larger scale in big cities like New York and Washington, D.C. But however, if you go to the countryside, then you see a lot more Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's. So I was under the impression perhaps that Starbucks was encountering a lot of challenges in U.S. market. But obviously, like Tony said, is a powerful presence even in the U.S. Then how is this Chinese company, Luckin, going to challenge that status?
I think it's very interesting because according to Tony, what he has just said, you can see that for a sane company, if you want to challenge the first in the market, the top one in the market, you got to be number two to challenge number one. If you're like 100, challenging number one sowns a little bit frowned upon in a way. However, this is not the way that this new startup company is going. Actually, this startup company was founded in November 2017. And the founder is the former director and deputy general manager of the care service provider UCAR, and the company opened more than 300 stores in just last year. So it's safe to say that Luckin, this coffee brand, is not number two in the market share or in any other perspective comparing to Starbucks. However, the reason that they can do that, I think, is because if you want to compete with, let's say, someone with the same kind of level with you, a good idea is to compare yourself with someone that is actually having the lion's share of the market. You are trying to convey the idea that we are as good as the best in the market. However, we don't charge that large amount of money for you guys.
We're providing
you with the top quality without charging the top price. That would be a kind of a way to go as a promotion strategy, I would assume.
So the strategy of Luckin is perhaps to offer the same kind of product or a similar quality product at much lower price. Exactly how much lower than Starbucks is offering?
Well, it's 5 yuan to 10 yuan less than a cup of Starbucks if you're comparing a similar kind of products.
Here's information on this. Like, with a large latte price at 24 yuan, about 20% cheaper than what it costs at its Seattle-based rival, the startup is very competitive on price.
I also feel like having a bit more options on your menu can also give your company a bit more edge over the competitor. As with McDonald's, it's a huge company all over the world, and everyone's familiar with their menu. And they've also surged as a coffee company as well. I mean, a lot of people go there for coffee, in addition to buying Happy Meals and some of the other you know, quality foods that McDonald's offers. And I mean, just growing up, a lot of people that I know around me, especially people from the older generation, they like to purchase McDonald's because McDonald's has been around longer and they're familiar with the taste. And once you get hooked on a taste, it's really difficult to change up. So McDonald's is actually a huge competitor for Starbucks as well.
Well, I think it makes kind of sense because for a chain store that's made international fame, it's important that they've been able to consistently provide the same or similar level of quality when it comes to the service and the products that they offer. And yes, I can see how people will very much be loyal to their taste throughout all these years. And also, I think that Luckin may have a different way to operate than Starbucks, is it?
Yes, totally. For Luckin, the thing is, they are, first of all, I think one thing that's very interesting is that they have their own app. If you think about it, as a startup company, you like to team up with some app that people already have on their mobile phone. So,
like WeChat
or Alipay in a way, so that you know you have this potential consumer already. If you want them to go that extra mile to actually download your app and use your app, you must be, first of all, very confident. And second, you must have something that's too very appealing to consumers so that they want to do that. However, if you manage to do that, if you manage to convince your consumers to download your app, you got also an edge because with your own app, you can actually collect enough data, enough information from your consumer to actually, in a way, improve or perfect your product, your service. And as for this Luckin Coffee, apart from or on top of having their own app, they actually have three kinds of stores, the kind of stores that provides a to-go cup of coffee, a takeaway coffee, and the kind of stores that provides only delivery service, so that that is to say, if passerbys ask for coffee from that store, they cannot do that because that is the kind of coffee that
you order online.
You order online, and you can only get them from delivery guys. And the third kind of coffee is like the traditional coffee house where you can hang out and, you know, do your things, have
charge
a little
your
chat.
Laptop and that kind of thing.
Yes. So three different kinds of stores.
Well, that sounds like they could definitely work in a big city, especially like Beijing, where you have lots of companies who need that coffee rush in the morning to get themselves going. And I find that a lot of my colleagues in the past few years have actually been drinking a lot of coffee. When I was working over at the Apple company, I a lot of my colleagues would drink coffee every day. So I'm not sure if that's from the American experience, but it seems like coffee consumption is growing here in Beijing.
Oh, one very important question that I forgot to ask. Do you guys ever drink coffee, or have you guys tried Luckin Coffee? Anything special about it?
I actually had a situation when I was younger where I tried coffee from, actually, I believe it was from McDonald's.
Oh.
And it was pretty traumatic as a young kid. I must have been about 4 or 5 years old, and I tried it, and I never forgot the taste. It was so bitter. So when I even smell it, it's really difficult for me to handle. So at my current age, I don't drink so much coffee. I've tried it once to try to stay awake for an exam late at night, and it didn't work for me. I actually fell asleep and I failed my exam the next morning. So, so not a big coffee drinker.
I, on the other hand, quite enjoy a cup of coffee, but I don't want to do it every day because, well, if you are used to having coffee in the morning, then you're going to increase the number of cups you have from 1 to 2, 2 to 3. And I do not want to do that to my body. And the thing is, I can't really tell which is a good cup of coffee, which is not. I just don't have that sensitive tongue buds, I guess. So the funny thing about that is I think a lot of Chinese people have that similar situation as I do, is that we don't have sensitive tongues. So our entire coffee education about what is a good quality coffee, what is not, should we add milk in it, should we have some kind of cinnamon in it, whatever, all these things, they come from Starbucks. And that is a huge problem because to this day, so many people still consider Starbucks as a symbol of a quality coffee, a to-go kind of coffee. And that is why I find it a bit worrying for Luckin Coffee to actually find their soul, the soul of the brand, to actually attract a lot of loyal consumers. So I think for some consumers now, they may give their physical ton to the brand, but not their heart, not their hearts.
That's interesting you say that, because a lot of my colleagues here in China tease me and say I'm not a real American because I don't drink coffee, because the stigma is that a lot of us love and drink coffee. But, you know, unfortunately for me, that's not the case. But I believe with, you know, with more exposure to, you know, Luckin and Starbucks, more people will drink more coffee and then have that taste for what is good quality and bad quality. I think it's similar to wine as well, you know, knowing what, you know, the age of it and how well it tastes and, you know, the process. So I think it comes with time and exposure. And I feel like in a short period of time, it's going to happen here in China.
I believe in time, perhaps Luckin, the company does have a chance at challenging Starbucks, because like Nuno said, to beat number one, you got to be at least be number two. But if you look at the landscape of coffee industry in this country, then you realize that there is only one major player in the country, that is Starbucks. And what follows Starbucks is actually, I think it's a McDonald's and Costa. I think each occupies only like 6% market share and 3% market share respectively. So it's not quite an insane jump for Luckin to sort of claim a bigger share of the market. I mean, 7% market share is enough to be the number two, let's face it. And also I think the company is quite smart in the operation, because when we talk about Starbucks, we always think of a place where people can go to sit down and enjoy a cup of coffee, and also while they're at it, charge their laptop, charge their smartphones, and also maybe rack up some articles or just paperwork that they have to do in the office. And think when we talk about coffee drinking culture in this country, we're mostly talking about office workers. And in this regard, I don't look at ourselves who are working in a godforsaken place in Western Beijing. It's practically rural areas, so we're not authentic office workers. But if you turn your eyes east to Sanlitun or other office building areas, you see there is a huge demand for coffee from within these buildings. And what's interesting is, yeah, I've been thinking, because I did spend some time working for a media outlet in Eastern Beijing, and I realized that for a lot of companies there, they do have a pantry. A pantry where they serve tea, coffee, or maybe bread, candies, where people can go and just relax and just take some steam off their work. And this, Ross, brings the question, what is Luckin trying to do when clearly they know that perhaps every company in office buildings, they probably already have the pantry? What is their game? I mean, at the moment, it seems that what they do is to sort of have coffees delivered to office buildings. But is that going to change the game dramatically?
I can only assume that what they're trying to do is to create a brand that is linked up with this high-end commercial kind of use. So if you serve your client, let's say you're a white collar and you serve your client a cup of coffee from your own office, not very high, well, not very fancy.
Especially when there are Nestle packets.
Yeah, so, but if you serve them a cup of coffee that is considered the commercial kind of coffee, the business to go kind of coffee, then you have some face or 面子 in Chinese in a way. So I think they're trying to create this kind of soul for their brand. And if you take a look at the numbers of Starbucks, you would see that on July 27 in the financial results for the quarter ending on July the 1st, Starbucks revealed that the complete store sales in China declined 2% annually. That is the first time they got a decline in 9 straight years.
All the while, they're expanding in the number of locations throughout the country.
Exactly. So I think that is also kind of, well, one of the reasons Luckin believe they got this slip of chance that they can take to actually compete with Starbucks in that specific areas. But all that fuss about we provide the top quality coffee, even better than Starbucks, is just smoke and mirror, I would say, because there's no top quality coffee in my mind.
Well, I feel that time is money, especially in this city. And, you know, people are busier nowadays, and it's the age of the internet. And, you know, being able to deliver is huge, and making people's lives more convenient. And so I think convenience is the key here. And as you mentioned, in the CBD area where, you know, Guomao and some of the areas where there's a lot of business and office buildings, it takes time to go from your office all the way to Starbucks sometimes. And sometimes there may not be one conveniently located next to your office. And in a lot of cases it is, but sometimes not. And to have it delivered to your office directly is huge. And I think that this is something that will work really well for Luckin.
And I also think the logistics industry might also welcome this change in the coffee industry, because when we talk about office buildings, we see perhaps those office workers trying to order meals during lunch and dinner hours, but then therefore this warrants a lot of people who are stationed there ready to make the deliveries. And in terms, what I'm saying is that there's got to be already a lot of delivery guys on standby in the areas. But however, outside the dining time or the lunch and dinner time, what do they do?
There's
got to be a surplus of labor when they're standing by sitting idly. So perhaps having them sending coffee to office building is the way to make the best of the service.
Absolutely. And definitely the option of being able to go into a cafe is also important too. So they would have to definitely open up shops in different areas that are very inconvenient as well.
All right. Interesting discussion. It's Roundtable with myself, Lai Ming, Niu Holing, and Tony Reed.